Christ our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Every New Year's Eve, we pick out a watchword not only for ourselves but for the church. And the watchword that was chosen this year is, "Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." What a wonderful verse. Now I want to tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that when I pray, I'm going to get everything I want. We had that brutally brought home to us last night when we were watching the Packers game. And I'm sure the Denver fans feel the same way. It does not mean that if I pray just the right way and if I have enough faith, anything I want will be given to me. It doesn't mean that. It also doesn't mean that if I imagine something great, God imagines something better than what I'm imagining. So if I ask for $10, God will give me $20. It's not that either. So what does it mean? He's going to give us more, abundantly more than what we can ask or think. The person who wrote this was a prisoner. We find that in the very beginning of chapter 3. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner. He was imprisoned under the most brutal regime in history, Nero's regime. He was not writing this in a lovely setting on a retreat, on a Christian retreat. He was writing this in chains. And what amazes me is that he doesn't say when he's in prison, "I am a prisoner and I have been unjustly imprisoned and I want you to pray that I get sprung quickly." He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, "I'm a prisoner in this dirty, rotten dungeon and please pray that Nero burns in hell." He doesn't say that. He says, "I'm a prisoner for Jesus." What is so remarkable about the Christian faith, what is so remarkable about our love for Jesus, is he turns things upside down. I would think being in prison would not be a good thing. I would think being in prison would be a state that I'd want to be prayed out of. And yet Paul says, "I'm a prisoner for Jesus." What God does in Christ Jesus is turn things on its head and gives us joy when all we should be feeling is sorrow, which brings light into darkness. When he says, "I'm going to do abundantly more than we ask or think," the first thing we have to understand is that we're not God. And whatever we think really is not what God thinks. And so in 2013, I hope we can trust the process, even if it leads us into darkness, because life is not always sunshine, is it? And sometimes life kicks us in the head. And sometimes God doesn't take us out of that. And we wonder about that. Why? If I were God, I'd set everything right for me and for everybody else. I don't get that. But Paul understood something. He understood that whatever God's purposes were, he might not be able to fathom, but he was so grateful that he could be part of the gospel. He was so grateful that he could have the grace of God. Now, when Paul wrote this, he wrote this to be distributed among the early church. He wrote it to specific people, and he wanted it read out loud. He could have never imagined that thousands of years later, these words would be read in the Church of Jesus Christ. God did abundantly more than what Paul could ever have asked or imagined. We need to look at that when we think about this verse because we'll be disappointed if we think, well, God is in my pocket, and whatever God wants for me, it's going to happen, and everything will be sunshine and light. That's not what it means. God will do abundantly more than we ask or imagine, but we have to trust him with that reality. And sometimes he just changes our darkness into light, as he did Paul's. Now, what does this mean for the church? I think the church has experienced that, this church, Ephraim, in the last 2 years. Hasn't God done abundantly more than we could have asked or imagined? I know he's done it for me. Because if you had told me 3 or 4 years ago that outside my window deer would be grazing, I would have run for the hills. I am an urban person. I love the sounds and smells of the city. I love to see concrete. I love to see storefronts. I love it when I go into blighted neighborhoods. I used to get a kick out of driving in the South Bronx. I know I'm strange. I am an urban person. And if you had asked me 4 years ago, what do you think about going to a little town? I would say, not on your life. And yet God did abundantly more than I could have asked or imagined. I'm in paradise and I love it. Sometimes we have to trust. And when you think of a few years back, how things were here, and God has given you a vision of what truly an open door church is all about, and you've been able to stand up and open the doors wide, not only to tourists, but to visitors, to people who are hurting, God has done abundantly more than we could have imagined. And I'd like to talk to those who are in the beginnings of their careers and lives today. When I was in my teens, I thought I had my path fully. I was going to live in Brooklyn. I was going to be a school teacher, which was not a bad thing to have happen. But I thought my path was completely laid out. And God, so many times in my life, has upended that path. And sometimes I was scratching my head saying, I don't know what you're up to, and I really don't like where I am right now. But looking at it now, I can say God did abundantly more than I could ask or imagine. So sometimes you just have to trust the process. And I know that's not an easy thing to say. Some people said to me when I was the age of some of our kids here, oh, God has a plan for your life and he'll reveal it to you. And now I would love to go back in time and say, no, he didn't. I had to discover it and I had to trust him. He did have a plan, but I had to trust that plan and know it was not laid out nicely for me. God can do abundantly more than we can ask or imagine in this church. But we have to trust that God is God, God knows what God's doing, and when life kicks us in the head, he can transform the ugliness and the darkness into light. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. So many times we have looked back and we have seen the darkness, and yet we have survived. We have become stronger. We have loved more deeply. We thank you for turning our darkness into light. And we ask, as we go forward in this reality of this year, that you would help us to see things differently as you do. We thank you for your grace and your mercy to this congregation. We ask especially for our young people, that as they look to college, as they look to education, as they look to their future, that you will indeed guide them into your light and help them, especially in the times of trial. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me and turn to hymn number 789, Children of the Heavenly Father, King.